2 Chronicles chapter 34, and I believe the Lord wants me to go a different direction tonight, and so I'm going to leave my notes over there, and I'm going to go with the Holy Spirit. Several things that I think the teenagers said tonight that I think are important for all of us to realize and to take a hold of. I hope that as an adult, you would be willing to be taught a spiritual lesson by anybody, no matter what their age is. If a teenager gets up here and shares their heart and testifies to the Holy Spirit of God moving in their heart toward a more narrow way, toward a more closer walk with the Lord Jesus Christ, I always take it personally and think, am I that close to the Lord? Am I willing to stand up before the congregation and share how God smote my heart about the things that I watch or I listen to? And I just read this passage this morning in my own personal devotions, and I wanted to go with it. I want to be an encouragement to the teenagers as well as to the congregation tonight. And so I'm going to do, I've probably only done this maybe two or three times in the history that I've been the pastor, but I want to do what the Lord wants me to do. And I want to be a blessing. So if you have your place, 2 Chronicles chapter 34, I want you to follow along as I read here for a little while. Manasseh was an awful, awful, awful king. He was wicked and vile, the Bible says, above all of the other kings in the nation of Israel, in Judah specifically. Manasseh humbled himself, and he got saved. And it really is an amazing story when you think about it, how vile the man was. The Bible says that he shed blood to the horse's bridle, and that he went farther and more wicked than any other king. And yet, when he humbled himself, God said, I got you. And he humbled himself and he got saved. Well, he died and his son Josiah ruled. And the Bible says in 2 Chronicles chapter 34, Josiah was just 8 years old when he began to reign. Can you imagine that? 8 years old. He was 8 years old. I'm sure they didn't have it then, but he probably was looking for Legos and he found a throne. He was ruling. He was the king. The Bible says he was 8 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned in Jerusalem. That's how you know it's Judah. 130 years, which means he was 39 years when it was all said and done. Now watch what it says. He was 8 years old, and this is what I want to say to the teenagers and every young person in this room, and I want you to listen to me very carefully. The Bible says he was 8 years old, verse 2, and he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord. Did you see that? You don't have to be an adult to do right in the sight of the Lord. And by the way, adults, you don't have to be 8 years old in order to do right in the sight of the Lord. He did right in the sight of the Lord. The Bible says, and he walked in the ways of David his father and declined neither to the right hand nor to the left. For in the eighth year of his reign, how old is he now? How old? Is that a teenager? He's a teenager. For in the eighth year of his reign, while he was yet young, he began to seek after the God of David his father. And in the 12th year, how old is he now? 20. So for 4 years. So now he's seeking God for 4 years. Now look what happens. In the 12th year, he began to purge Judah and Jerusalem from the high places and the groves and the carved images and the molten images. And what did they do? They break down the altars of Balaam in his presence. And the images that were on high above them, he cut down in the groves and the carved images and the molten images. He brake in pieces and made dust of them and strewed it upon the graves of them that had sacrificed unto them. Made it a statement. You say, well, how does that encourage the teenagers? Look up here, teens. He was militant against sin. Did you hear what I said? It wasn't just a matter of, well, these are images and these are abominations to God, and I think we could just, you know, break them up and put them to the side. I'm going to break them up, pound them to pieces, and I'm going to put them on top of the graves of the people that sacrificed to that God. The Bible says in verse 5, and he burnt the bones of the priests upon their altars and cleansed Judah and Jerusalem. And so did he in the cities of Manasseh and Ephraim and Simeon, even unto Naphtali, with their mattocks round about. And when he had broken down the altars and the groves and had beaten the graven images into powder and cut down all the idols throughout all the land of Israel, he returned to Jerusalem. Now in the 18th year of his reign, how old is he now? 26. So from the time that he was 16 to 26, for 10 years, he's now been on a tirade against sin. He's just decided, I don't want any of this stuff around here. It's not doing anybody any good, and it's certainly not pleasing God. I'm going to be militant against all that's against my God. That's a wonderful example. In the 18th year, verse 8 of his reign, when he had purged the land of the house, he sent Shaphan, the son of Azaliah, and Maaseiah, the governor of the city, and Joah, the son of Joahaz, the recorder, to repair the house of the Lord his God. So he starts, first of all, he starts purging the land of everything that's anti-God, everything that would hinder his walk with God. And now he goes and he sees the house of God in disarray because his father left it that way. And all the kings before him. The Bible says when they came to Hilkiah, in verse 9, the high priest, they delivered the money that was brought into the house of God, which the Levites, that kept the doors had gathered of the hand of Manasseh and Ephraim and all of the remnant of Israel and of all Judah and Benjamin, and they returned to Jerusalem. And they put it in the hand of the workmen that had oversight of the house of the Lord. And they gave it to the workmen that wrought in the house of the Lord to repair and amend the house. Even to the artificers and the builders gave they it, to buy hewn stone and timber for couplings and to floor the houses which the kings of Judah had destroyed. And the men did the work faithfully, and the overseers of them were Jahath and Obadiah, the Levites of the son of Merari, and Zechariah and Meshulam of the sons of the Kohathites to set it forward, and other of the Levites, all that could skill of instruments of music. Also, they were over the bearers of burdens and were overseers of all that wrought the work. Verse 14, and when they brought out the money that was brought into the house of the Lord, Hilkiah the priest found a book of the law of the Lord given by Moses. Now, sometimes we think, well, of course it's there. But did they know it was there? Had they been in the house of God? Apparently not. Apparently, the condition was so bad and they were so dedicated to everything else in society, they had neglected the law of God in the very place that God had intended for people to hear the book of the law. Well, what were they doing in there? Well, as we continue to read here, you'll find out they were doing just about everything in the temple except listening to the law of God. Now, that's astonishing to me. It reminds me sometimes that people can come to church and do a lot of other things other than worship God. They can have their minds on a whole lot of other things other than what God is trying to say through his word. And here the Bible says they found the book of the Lord given to Moses. Verse 15, and Hilkiah answered and said to Shaphan the scribe, I found the book of the law in the house of the Lord. And Hilkiah delivered the book to Shaphan. Shaphan carried the book to the king and brought the king word back again saying, all that was committed to thy servants, they do it. Verse 17, and they had gathered together the money that was found in the house of the Lord, and he delivered it into the hand of the overseers and to the hand of the workmen. You kind of get a sense that Shaphan is giving a detailed report to the king, even though he's younger than obviously he is, and he's saying, look, king, this is what's going on. And then the Bible says, then Shaphan the scribe told the king, saying, Hilkiah the priest hath given me a book. Shaphan read it before the king, and it came to pass, when the king had heard the words of the law, that he rent his clothes. And the king commanded Hilkiah and Ahikam, the son of Shaphan, and Abdon, the son of Micah, and Shaphan the scribe, and Azaiah, a servant of the king's, saying, go inquire of the Lord for me, for them that are left in Israel and in Judah, concerning the words of the book that is found. For great is the wrath of the Lord that is poured out upon us, because our fathers have not kept the word of the Lord to do after all that is written in the book. And Hilkiah and they that the king had appointed went to Huldah the prophetess, the wife of Shallum, the son of Tikvath, the son of Hasra, keeper of the wardrobe. Now she dwelt in Jerusalem in the college. And they spake to her to that effect. Now isn't it interesting that of all the places that they had to go and inquire of the Lord, they decided that the only one that they could trust, the only place that they knew to get God's ear, was this lady that was the keeper of the wardrobe in a Bible college in Jerusalem. Isn't that a bit sad? Don't you find that a bit odd? That there wasn't somebody in the house of God who had God's ear? Don't you find it that there was nobody in the lineage of the Levites or of the line of Aaron or even Korath or Merari that had, that, was there not somebody close to the house of God that had God's ear? They went to the wardrobe lady. So of all the people that had decided to go away from God, Huldah decides, I'm going to walk with God. I don't care what people say. Now, that's a good encouragement for every teenager that's ever made a decision. Because in the midst of everybody else, here's a lady that was just keeping the wardrobe that decided, I'm going to walk in the Spirit. I'm going to be a good example no matter what. And man, did it pay off. Because they knew her testimony and they went right to her. I want to know what this means. And she answered, verse 23, and she answered them, thus saith the Lord God of Israel, tell ye the man that sent you to me, thus saith the Lord, behold, I will bring evil upon this place and upon the inhabitants thereof, even all the curses that are written in the book which they have read before the king of Judah, because they have forsaken me and have burned incense unto other gods, that they might provoke me to anger with all the works of their hands. Therefore my wrath shall be poured out upon this place and shall not be quenched. And as for the king of Judah, who sent you to inquire of the Lord, so shall you say unto him, thus saith the Lord God of Israel concerning the words which thou hast heard. Now watch this. Because thine heart was tender, and thou didst humble thyself before God, when thou heardest his words against this place and against the inhabitants thereof, and humblest thyself before me, and didst rend thy clothes and weep before me, I have heard thee also, saith the Lord. Behold, I will... excuse me, behold, I will gather thee to thy fathers, and thou shalt be gathered to thy grave in what? In peace. Neither shall thine eyes see all the evil that I will bring upon this place and upon the inhabitants of the same. So they brought the king word again. Then the king sent and gathered together all the elders of Judah and Jerusalem, and the king went up into the house of the Lord, and all the men of Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem and the priests and the Levites and all the people, great and small. And he read in their ears all the words of the book of the covenant that was found in the house of the Lord. And the king stood in his place, and he made a covenant before the Lord to walk after the Lord and to keep his commandments and his testimonies and his statutes with all his heart, with all his soul, to perform the words of the covenant which are written in this book. And he caused all that were present in Jerusalem and Benjamin to stand to it. And the inhabitants of Jerusalem did according to the covenant of God and God of their fathers. And Josiah took away all the abominations out of all the countries that pertain to the children of Israel, and made all that were present in Israel to serve, even to serve the Lord their God. And all the days they departed not from following the Lord, the God of their fathers. That is amazing. Let me give you a couple of thoughts. It pays to be humble. It pays when you hear the voice of God to say, God, woe is me, for I am undone. I'm a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips, because mine eyes have seen the Holy One of Israel. You know, it's amazing what we could actually accomplish for God if we would bring the spirit of a teen camp into the house of God. One thing that was said that I appreciate is the spirit is just so wonderful up there. There's no cell phones, there's no TVs, there's nothing but Christian teens and Christian counselors and a Christian program and Bible preaching and sleep and food, period. We think we have to have screens and we think we have to have technology and all that stuff in order to hear from God. No, you don't. You just need God. And you need to listen. I don't know what maybe you've been neglecting in your life, but according to the Bible, when Josiah at a very young age decided to seek the Lord, he made it a point to seek the Lord. He made a personal decision, and for 10 years he just made that decision. In fact, when he heard the word of God, it crushed him to think that, my goodness, this nation is suffering at the hands of the Almighty God because we have decided to turn our back on God. And he took it personally. He, the Bible says, rent his clothes and was contrite, and he humbled himself. And because of that, God said, now here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to punish Israel, but not while you're the king. What happens next is simply amazing. And if you read the text, just peruse over, you kind of miss it. The whole point of verses 29 through 32, when the Bible says, and he caused all that were present. You see, here's what happened. Teenagers, listen to me. Josiah made a covenant. He made a decision. He promised God, this is what I'm going to do. I am going to serve God. I'm going to love God. I'm going to be an example. I'm going to walk with God. And the Bible says it's essentially everybody else stood to it. Well, what does that mean? They stood to what he did. He didn't make them. He didn't pass the law. You're going to do this or you're going to die. They saw his influence. And they said, we want to be like Josiah. I'm standing with him. Now, you could say, well, they were standing with he was a king. No, I think they were standing because word got around. Huldah said that it's not going to happen in this place because of that man. And wherever he is, that's where I want to be. Whatever he's doing, that's what I want to do. I want to make a decision like that. Don't you know there was probably some 60, 70, 80-year-old man somewhere been doing what he'd wanted the entire life, did that which was right in his own eyes? I mean, good night. The Bible talks about groves that were raised and incense that were burned and idols that were in the very house of God. In fact, the Bible describes in another account that on both sides of the court, the altar was not used anymore. They had altars to pagan gods. There were idols all over the temple of the living God. And that's why they lost the law of the Lord in there. They were worried about everything else going on under the host of heaven. The Bible talks about they burnt sacrifices to the sun and the hosts of heaven, all the planets, the Bible details, in the temple of God. Amazing. Here we have this young guy stands up and says, hey, this is wrong. I'm not going to allow this place or my life to be affected by what's happening here. We're going to get rid of all this music. We're going to get rid of all this idol worship. We're going to get rid of all this stuff that doesn't matter to us. It's keeping us from worshiping God. And I'm making a covenant with God. And everybody else said, hey, that sounds pretty good to me. He had a contrite spirit. I want a contrite spirit. I want God to work in my life. I want God to look at my family over here in the corner of Jerusalem and say, hey, God, if it's all right with you, I'll rent my clothes and I want to get my heart right because I want whatever Josiah's got on my life tonight. Somebody say amen. These teenagers have stood up here and bared their soul, and it's not very easy to stand up here and speak to people that look at them like this. How long is this going to take? Is this is why we came to PM Church tonight? It's not very easy because they're young and they don't know any better. And they get up here and they say, hey, I didn't, look, we ought not try to make it difficult for them to keep their decisions coming back for camp. We ought to make it easy for them making coming back. We ought to encourage them. We ought to develop a spirit in this place where they could come and feel safe and feel like, man, I feel like I'm rejuvenated again and I can go and I can walk in the Spirit and I am going to read my Bible and I am going to take advantage of every opportunity because I went to church today. Amen. Josiah decided, hey, I don't know what y'all are going to do, but I'm going to, as a young man, make a decision and I'm going to stand with God. And it affected the whole nation. He caused all that were present in Jerusalem and Benjamin to stand to it. The inhabitants of Jerusalem did according to the covenant of God. In other words, God used Josiah to help people listen to the word of God, and they decided, I don't want to do it because Josiah has said and done it. I want to do it because God said it. The Bible says that they did according to the covenant of God. Moreover, chapter 35, verse 1, say, how many are going to go? I don't know. It's only six. Moreover, Josiah kept the Passover unto the Lord in Jerusalem. They killed the Passover on the 14th day of the first month, and I'll save you and spare you the letters and the pages. The Bible says there was not a Passover kept since the day of Solomon like this one. That's how thoroughly right people got. By the way, the Passover was not a public ceremony. It was a private. You had your own lamb per your house and your family. You were supposed to go and you were supposed to sod the flesh and you were supposed to gird yourself and you were supposed to sit like their fathers did on the way out of Egypt. What were they remembering? Their redemption. We remember when we were down in Egypt and God heard our cry of affliction. And he came and he delivered us. And I remember I put the blood over our forefathers put the blood over the mantle. And they sat there and they ate because they knew, hey, in the morning, we're out of here. They started over. What did they do? They pushed the reset button. This was a holy revival written in the Word of God because of an 8-year-old. because of an 8-year-old that decided to commit himself to God, and he started to seek the Lord when he was 16, and for the next 10 years, he just said, you know what? I'm just putting my nose to the Bible grindstone. I'm just going to serve God because it seems to be working out way better than serving Balaam, and it seems to be working out way better for everybody else if I just decide to do this, and who knows what may happen? Well, a revival broke out. God spared the whole nation of Judah because of an 8-year-old. He decided, I'm going to walk with God. I wonder if you'll make that decision tonight. I wonder if you decide, hey, listen, and by the way, you want to encourage these teenagers? You should be able to stand before God tonight at this altar and say, I want to be Spirit-filled. Every one of us should be able to take a microphone and stand before us tonight with a contrite heart, like Josiah. Say, God, I'm unclean. I need to be militant about my sin tonight. I don't want to entertain it. I don't want to coddle it. I want to mortify it, like the Bible says. I want to attack it until it's dead. Crucify your flesh with the affections and lust, the Bible says. If ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of your flesh, ye shall live. That's the promise of God. What's controlling your life? The Spirit of God? Is it Him or is it an idol? The first time I went to Israel, I remember Avi, our guide that we'll have again here in just a few weeks. We went by what's the Dung Gate down just where the city of David is. And we went by and he said, well, if you look on the left side of your bus, those of you on the left side, you can see this is the Valley of Kidron. Has anyone ever heard of the Kidron Valley? And if you've ever read the Old Testament, you say, oh, yeah, I know the Kidron Valley. He goes, does anybody know what it's famous for? And we're all like, I have no idea what the Kidron Valley is famous for. He said, it's famous for pollution. And we're all kind of like, huh? Wait, we're from the San Francisco area. We know all kinds of pollution, right? He said, no, that's the place where when the people of God got right, all of the images that were broken down and powdered to dust were thrown into the Kidron Valley. When you drive by there, you start thinking about passages like this. Start thinking about every king that's ever purged Jerusalem at all. And you think about all of the idols and all of the dirt and all of the rocks. This was their dump, the Kidron Valley. Now, if you look at it today, in portions of it, some of you remember, Chris will remember, and Matt Austin will remember. There's portions down there that are grassy and pretty, but most of it is awful. And it stands as a testimony as to what sin should be. It should be exceeding sinful. The reason that we put up with it is because it's no longer exceeding sinful. It's just like, oh, well, it's just one line. It's just one scene. It's just one word, whatever. And we entertain it instead of executing it. Josiah said, not on my watch. I'm purging this place. And I want you to notice, if you go back and read it sometime on your own, he didn't start in Jerusalem. He started outward. And then he worked toward Jerusalem. In other words, in the outlying portions of my life, I need to make sure they're clean. Now, I wonder tonight if you would be willing to say, you know what? If an 8-year-old can seek the Lord, if a 16-year-old can seek the Lord, if they can make decisions like that, maybe we should. Maybe I should be that resolved. Maybe we can learn from their example. By the way, let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example unto the believers in everything. And you've done that tonight, and I'm proud of you for that. Heavenly Father, we love you and we thank you for the testimony of your kids. And Lord, these teenagers are not the first young people to have ever decided to follow Jesus. They're not the first to... In all of creation, they're not the first young people to do that which is right in the eyes of the Lord. Joseph did that. Seth did that. Then men began to call on God. Abel did that. Lord, David was a young guy when he slew the giant. Daniel and Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, long before they were adults, later in the Babylonian kingdom, they started off as teenagers, Lord, and just made decisions. Josiah, Lord, was just a baby. He was only 8, a year older than my Braden. He was put on a throne, and Hilkiah helped him to grow in grace and in the knowledge of God. And then at just a young age of 16 years old, Lord, he began a search for you. And And Lord, he found you because he was searching for you with all of his heart. And it hurt him, Lord, to hear of all that had happened to his family and friends, the nation of Israel, because of sin. And he humbled himself, was contrite. God, would you help us to provide that kind of atmosphere in here tonight? There's nobody here but us and you. Nobody knows what's in our temple. Nobody knows the pollution, but you do. And God, sin hinders everybody. And if it's not annihilated, if it's not mortified, it destroys. Tonight, I believe your young people, from the youngest of the first or second time they've ever been to camp, have spoken. And you've spoken. We're so grateful for their testimony to us. Very convicting to me. Now, God, I pray that you would help us to humble ourselves in their presence and in yours and be willing to make same decisions. I pray this in Jesus' name.